Hey there, and welcome back to the Deep Dive. Get ready to fire up those neurons, because today we are diving headfirst into a real brain bender.
Ooh, I like where this is going. What kind of deep dive are we talking about?
Well, you sent over some research on artificial intelligence and, wait for it, synthetic biology.
Okay, now that's a combo I'm ready to unpack. AI and synthetic biology, two fields evolving faster than, well, you know, something that evolves really fast.
And possibly even a little bit scary,
right?
Which is probably why this research is all about biosecurity risks. Got to make sure those sci-fi plots stay on the screen, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we're talking about AI that could design proteins, screen drugs, maybe even build genetic circuits from scratch. It's a lot.
Okay, yeah, now we're getting into some serious what-if territory.
Right, and this research is really at the forefront of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the first of its kind, a biosecurity risk assessment looking specifically at AI and synthetic biology.
First of its kind, and now that's saying something. We're really charting new territory here. So who are we hearing from in this deep dive?
So the lead researcher behind this eye-opening study is Lema P. DeHaro out of Caltech.
Caltech, impressive. So break it down for me. What are some of the big biosecurity concerns when we start mixing AI and synthetic biology? What's got DeHaro worried?
Well, at its core, it's this concept of dual-use technology. That's something that can be used for good or, you know, not so good.
Okay, two sides to the same coin. I'm with you. What's an example of that?
Take gene editing. Huge potential there, right? Treating genetic diseases, even potentially enhancing human capabilities, but in the wrong hands. That same tech could be used to create dangerous pathogens. We're talking next level bioweapons here.
Okay, yeah, that puts things into perspective. So it's like this incredible power that we're just starting to understand, and we need to be really careful about how we use it. What are some of the specific AI applications that DeHaro is looking at in the research?
Well, she dives into a bunch of different areas, but one that's already being used in labs is AI-assisted CRISPR.
Right, CRISPR, that's the whole gene editing thing, right? Like molecular scissors that can snip and edit DNA.
Precisely. Now, imagine AI acting as a kind of safety guide for those scissors.
Safety guide? I'm intrigued. How so?
So one of the risks with CRISPR is that it can sometimes make unintended edits to the DNA, these what we call off-target effects. But AI can analyze mountains of data from CRISPR experiments.
Okay, I'm seeing where this is going.
And use that to predict these unintended edits before they even happen. So it's making a powerful tool even more precise and predictable.
Right, so AI is adding a whole other layer of precision and safety to gene editing. Fascinating. What else is AI being used for in synthetic biology? What other tools are we talking about?
Well, it's not just about making existing tools safer. AI is also being used to design completely new proteins from scratch. Proteins with entirely new functions that have never existed before.
Now that's what I call pushing boundaries. We're talking about designing the building blocks of life here. That's huge. What are the potential benefits of that?
The possibilities are really endless. We're talking about potential cures for diseases we haven't even encountered yet. Imagine the applications in materials. Science, self-healing materials, super efficient solar cells, you name it.
Okay, now my brain is officially buzzing, but I'm guessing this kind of power comes with a hefty dose of caution, right?
Exactly. And that brings us back to that biosecurity risk assessment. Because the same technology that could lead to incredible breakthroughs, well, it could also be misused.
Right. The potential for things to go very wrong is definitely there.
Mm.
So when DeHaro digs into these potential risks, what are some of the big concerns she's raising?
Well, she breaks it down into specific applications and assigns them risk levels based on their potential for misuse. And this is where it gets really interesting. Gene editing, as we talked about, it's classified as high risk. But she takes it a step further with what's called de novo gene design.
De novo gene design. Sounds intense. What exactly does that mean?
Basically, it means designing genes completely from scratch, creating genetic code that's never existed in nature before.
Wow. Okay. So we're not just talking about tweaking existing genes. We're talking about writing completely new ones. That's a whole other level.
Exactly. And DeHaro actually classifies de novo gene design as the highest risk of all when it comes to AI and synthetic biology.
Highest risk, huh? I can definitely see why. It's like stepping into uncharted territory, right? We have no idea what we might find or what the unintended consequences might be.
Precisely. And that's what makes this research so important. It's not just about the wow factor of what AI can do, but about asking those tough questions about what could go wrong. And more importantly, what we can do to prevent it.
Right. We can't let the possibilities blind us to the potential dangers.
Yeah.
So what are some of the safeguards DeHaro suggests? How do we make sure we're using this technology responsibly?
Well, she gets into a lot of really interesting ideas, and one of the biggest ones is controlling access to this technology. I mean, right now, these cutting-edge tools are mainly in the hands of research institutions and well-funded companies, but as AI gets more powerful and more accessible, who knows what the future holds? We need to make sure it doesn't end up in the wrong hands, you know?
Right, because the potential for misuse is definitely there. So what else are we talking about besides gene editing? What other applications did DeHaro flag as potentially risky?
Well, another big one is protein design.
Protein design. Okay, reminder, what are proteins again? Help me out here.
Proteins are like the little machines that make our cells work. They're responsible for almost everything. Building tissues, transporting molecules, fighting off infections, you name it.
Okay, right, the building blocks of life. So where does AI come in?
So AI is now being used to predict how changes to a protein's structure will impact its function. This is a game changer for drug discovery, speeding up the process of developing new medicines.
Okay, that sounds amazing, but I'm guessing there's a catch. It can't all be good news, right?
You're right. There's always a flip side. This technology, while super promising, gets a moderate risk label. Because just like AI can design proteins with beneficial properties, it could also be used to design more potent toxins.
So it's a double-edged sword. Amazing potential for good, but also the possibility of being used for harm.
Exactly. And that's why this whole area of AI and synthetic biology requires such careful consideration. And it gets even trickier when we start talking about AI-driven automation of lab experiments.
Hold on, AI running experiments. Are we talking robots and lab coats now?
Kind of. Picture this AI guiding experiments, analyzing results in real time, and even making adjustments on the fly without any human intervention.
Wow, so we're talking about seriously accelerating the pace of research. That sounds like it could be incredibly useful. But again, I have a feeling there's a but coming.
You know me too well. Faster research is great, but DeHaro classifies this as high risk, and for good reason.
Okay, why is that? What are the concerns around AI-run experiments?
Well, for starters, what happens if an AI system controlling a critical experiment gets hacked or malfunctions?
Oh, right. It's like those sci-fi movies where the AI becomes self-aware and decides to, you know, take over the lab, except maybe not as dramatic.
Hopefully not. But the point is, this kind of automation introduces a whole new level of complexity when it comes to biosecurity. And it's not just about accidental errors. It also creates new vulnerabilities for sabotage.
Okay, I see what you mean. It's one thing to worry about human error, but a whole other thing when you're talking about AI systems that could be tampered with or even reprogrammed.
Exactly. And all of this is happening alongside this explosion of AI development that's really capturing the public imagination. Which brings us to the big one.
Oh, I know what's coming. We've got to talk about ChatGPT 4.0. It's everywhere these days.
Tell me about it. It's writing code, composing music, even having philosophical debates. And now it's a potential player in the world of synthetic biology.
It's like that movie Her. But instead of falling in love with an operating system, we've got AI designing new life forms. Okay, DeHaro looked into this, right? What's the verdict? Should we be worried?
So this is where it gets really interesting. DeHaro actually dives deep into ChatGPT 4.0, assessing its potential for misuse in this very context.
Okay, and drumroll, please. What risk level are we talking about here?
Get ready for this.
Low risk.
Wait, seriously? Low risk? That's a surprise. I mean, with all the hype around ChatGPT, I was expecting something a little more, well, alarming.
I know, it seems counterintuitive, right? But there are actually a few key reasons for this classification. First, and this is crucial, ChatGPT 4.0 can't actually conduct experiments in the real world. It can analyze data, generate text, even suggest experimental procedures, but it can't physically manipulate lab equipment or synthesize DNA.
Right. It's like having all the ideas in the world, but no hands to actually try them out. Exactly. It's all talk, no action, at least for now. But it's not just about physical limitations. ChatGPT 4.0 is programmed with ethical guidelines and safety features. So it's designed to avoid providing harmful information, especially regarding dangerous or illegal activities, which includes developing bioweapons.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's like having a super smart research assistant who also happens to be really good at following the rules.
Precisely. But, and this is a big but.
Uh-oh, there's always a but, isn't there?
The world of AI is in constant flux, constantly evolving. Those limitations we talked about, you know, the inability to interact with the physical world. those might not be limitations forever.
I was just thinking that as fast as AI is evolving, who knows what it will be capable of in a few years, even a few months. It's kind of unnerving when you really think about it.
It definitely makes you think, that's for sure. Which is why DeHaro's research is so timely. It's a wake-up call. We can't get complacent. We need to stay ahead of the game.
Absolutely. We can't just bury our heads in the sand and hope for the best. So what can we do? What's the game plan for making sure this technology doesn't spiral out of control?
Well, a lot of it comes down to establishing clear ethical guidelines for AI development.
Mm.
We need to be asking ourselves some tough questions about how we want this technology to be used and how we definitely don't want it to be used.
Right. Establishing those ethical boundaries early on is crucial, especially when you're talking about something as potentially world-changing as AI and synthetic biology.
And it's not just up to the scientists and developers either. We need policymakers to get involved. We need international cooperation. Because let's face it, this isn't just one country's problem.
Exactly. This technology has the potential to impact all of humanity, for better or for worse. We need to be working together to make sure it's for better.
Absolutely. And that's what makes this whole field so fascinating and a little bit daunting to be working in right now. It really feels like we're on the cusp of something truly groundbreaking. But we have a responsibility to make sure those groundbreaking discoveries are used for good.
You said it. With great power comes great responsibility, right?
You got it. And this is about the most powerful technology out there.
Okay, so big picture, what's your biggest takeaway from all of this? What should our listeners be walking away with after this deep dive?
I think the biggest takeaway is that we can't just sit back and let things unfold. We need to be proactive, we need to be having these difficult conversations, and we need to be demanding responsible development of this technology. The future of AI and synthetic biology is still being written, and it's up to all of us to make sure it's a story with a happy ending.
I love that, a story with a happy ending. We're going to hold on to that thought. Well, that's about all the time we have for today's deep dive. A huge thank you to our incredible expert for walking us through this complex and rapidly evolving landscape.
It's been my pleasure. Always happy to geek out about AI and synthetic biology.
And to our amazing listeners, thanks for joining us on this journey into the frontiers of science and technology. Keep those minds curious, everyone, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.